Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that line falls on the right, babe, not that Mackie. Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How we doing on this Thursday morning? 2:03 on the Fan. I got you for 3 hours. You know the deal. The warm-up show will come your way, but it's me till then. Give me a call. Let's talk about greatness. And Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side. And we got 3 hours here to do this show. And I'm looking forward to it. I feel better about this team. Yeah, and I know they beat the White Sox. I get it. They avoided disaster, ultimately. The Mets avoided a 5-game losing streak, showed up. They seemed to be awoken by a relief pitcher getting in their face. And Pete Alonso actually did something in the offense, who I've told you over and over again is going to be the driving force of this team, showed up, scored a bunch of runs. And listen, Peterson's been unbelievable. We'll get to all of that. And we'll get to the game, too, between the Yankees and the White Sox and all the different things that happened. And Cabrera needs to play more. Plain and simple. The sacrifice fly from second base. Soto with another home run. But we're going to start praising someone who absolutely needs it. And we all know this. We didn't need to see his 300th home run to recognize how incredibly talented and what an unbelievable player we're seeing here. And let's just be honest about what we are seeing. As Judge, if you're unaware, Judge hit his 300th home run last night. He did it because Grady Sizemore intentionally walked Soto in front of him, which, I mean, I think we were all dumbfounded. If we're all watching the game, right? We're all frustrated. And ultimately, I hate playing the White Sox. I hate it. I hate playing these teams that if you lose one game to a stub your toe, it's just like the ultimate, oh, what a disaster. The sky is falling. And let's be totally honest, just for a second real quick. I know they're awful. They didn't play that bad. Fletcher out in right field is an incredible outfielder. They played great defense. Sheets was hitting the ball all over the place in this series. They didn't look like the worst team in baseball history to me. But having said that, they are awful. And the Yankees avoided a disaster of a possible lost series to them. But ultimately, when you come out of this game, and for whatever reason, whether it's the Soto at-bats, right, 4 consecutive home runs between 3 yesterday, or 2 days ago now, and 1 last night, and then Judge hitting his 300th home run. And just to take a second and recognize what we're seeing right now with those two guys playing in the middle of this lineup, and specifically Judge, as now we are looking at a guy who's been here, he's going to be here for his entire career. He is now the fastest man in the history of baseball to 300 home runs. He's done it 132 games faster than Ralph Kiner, 132. That is damn near a full season of baseball. And if it weren't for his, inability to get it going in his early 20s, I guess, and getting called up at 26, and if it wasn't for all the injuries he's had to deal with, the shortened season of 2020, who knows where he would be right now in home runs. But this is what we are watching right now, as he is hitting 330, already 110 RBIs. 2 or 3 home runs. I mean, the guy is what we are watching right now from Aaron Judge, and I'm not kidding, right? We are watching, without question, the greatest New York Yankee since Mickey Mantle. Without question. And you can honestly possibly go further than that when you consider, and they're actually talking about this. Mike Cameron was talking about it during the Met broadcast, if you were watching that game. The way baseball is today and how difficult it is to hit, and if you look at, obviously, batting averages and everything else that go throughout baseball, it is so hard to hit. pitching has become, I know it's injury waiting to happen, everybody's hurt, but everybody throws 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. Every bullpen arm is designed just to get you out. Lefty, righty, you never see the same pitcher more than twice in a game. It is as difficult to hit today as it ever has been before. And this guy is toying with the opposition. Toying. He is an absolute beast. And I loved what he did last night. And I thought it was so apropos to have it be his 300th home run. And they intentionally walked Soto in front of him. And he's pissed off. And you could see it in the swing. I tweeted it out. The swing, you could tell he was angry. That pitch was 6 inches off the plate inside. He was not going to get denied on that at bat. That's how freaking good this guy is. I mean, that is, let's be honest, I know he strikes out a ton. But to be able to just be determined to pull an inside fastball for a home run, that is like Tony Gwynn-type bat manipulation to go on top of being able to hit it 485,000 feet. I mean, the guy is something we have never seen. He is Barry Bonds. And we all try and do, you know, the steroids, whatever. This is as good a hitter as we have ever seen. And this is our Mickey Mantle. This is our Ted Williams. This is our Joe DiMaggio. This is our Babe Ruth. That's how good this guy is. And when you compare him and combine him with Juan Soto and the two of them dynamic in the middle of this order, and you are, I mean, this is, we talked about it last night, as good as it gets. This is Maris Mantle. This is Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. That almost happened. That almost happened. This is Winfield and Mattingly. This is on another level. And it's just the day-to-day. I understand it's beating the White Sox. There's a lot going on with the Yankee season. We're going to get to it all. We're going to get to the Met game, but just for a second to acknowledge how freaking great this guy is and these two guys are. And here's the other thing I want to get to, because apparently it's like the topic here with Soto. And eventually, you know, every day it seems to be, right, at the beginning of the year, it's kind of dulled a little bit as the Yankees went through their struggles and we weren't focused on Soto every day. But it seems like right now, especially with the four home runs and what's going on here with the Yankees and how important these two guys are, there is no way in hell. Right, let's just start here. There is no way in hell Hal Steinbrenner is going to willingly let this duo break up. All right? There is just no chance. I understand everybody hates him. I understand he's not his father. I understand that there have been guys like Harper and Machado and other guys who have been allowed to leave or, excuse me, not leave, but allowed to go on and not be brought into the Yankees when they made perfect sense, right? All the shortstops as we were waiting for Volpe, who's in another slump, although he came through with a double in this game. All the Seager and Turner and all the shortstops that, you know, Correa, all the shortstops that passed over the last 2 years in free agency, and the Yankees didn't nibble. Bryce Harper obviously would have been a perfect fit. He wanted to be here. His father was a Mickey Mantle guy. He wanted to be here. Made perfect sense. No, they didn't want to do it. I get it. This is different. This is different. When Judge hit the free agent market, they made sure to get him. Everybody, oh, other teams offered him more money. He's playing here right now. He didn't ask to match the Padres' $400 million. He asked for the ninth year, $360 million, and that's what Steinbrenner ponied up. And if you look at this team right now, right, and I talked about this, I saw it on SMY, I've been saying it for weeks. When you look at the trade deadline, that was underwhelming. And we talk about stacking the deck. I heard Keith say it a million times during the show. He's been saying it a million times over the past 2 months, or really since he's been on the air. And I get it. And you should be stacking the deck. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. We're going to find out when they win a World Series this year or when they don't win a World Series this year. But part of the reason the trade deadline, I believe, was treated the way it was, and the reason why guys like Spencer Jones and clearly Dominguez and some of these other guys weren't moved, is because of Juan Soto. And there's two ways to look at Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Hey, you got them in the middle of the lineup this year. You do whatever it takes to try to win a championship. And there's also the, this guy can't leave. They have to make sure Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are together forever. And when you want to pay these guys and you look at Stanton and you look at Rodon and you look at Cole and you look at Judge, how do you keep Soto on this team? What you do is you keep youth everywhere else. Like, if you look at the roster this year, like, it's not hard to do. Like, I heard Gio this morning. How are you going to do it in this luxury tax era? How do you keep both of them? This is how you do it. It's quite easy, in fact. You look at this roster right now. Rizzo makes $20 million. He's off the books. Gleyber Torres makes $14 million. He's going to be off the books. Believe it or not, Josh Donaldson is still $6 million on the books this year. He's off the books. Verdugo makes $9 million. You can bet your ass Verdugo is not going to be here next year. Stack up all that money. And here's the other thing. Juan Soto is already making $31 million this year. To pay him $50 million is only $20 million more. That's made up just by Rizzo. And what you do with all of those guys is you replace them with Ben Rice. You replace them with Peraza, who was just called up. You replace them with Dominguez in the outfield. That's how you pay your superstars, and that is why the Yankees have been trying to go. That's why the Yankees have held on to Volpe and not went out and spent all this money on shortstops. This is why Dominguez is not available. This is why Spencer Jones is not available, because if you want to have the handful of superstars with whatever you think about Steinbrenner and you think it's all about money, here's the deal. Do you know what sells those chicken buckets you think he praises and you know, has a shrine and statues built in his house on with chicken buckets and beers? Do you know what pays for those things? Superstars. Superstars. And he's passed on some, but when one is in your building and you have combined to have a fearsome middle of the order where this is historic, a 25-year-old kid already putting up Hall of Fame numbers, already a world champion, already one of the handful of greatest hitters of this generation, and he's playing next to your Mickey Mantle, your Babe Ruth, your superstar who's now hit 300 home runs faster than any player in the history of the game, who on command can hit an inside fastball 400 feet over the left field wall just because he's pissed off that the White Sox walked Soto in front of him. When you have that opportunity, you do not let it go. And Steinbrenner will not let this go. Now, I can't promise you that in comes Steve Cohen, in comes and any other owner you want, the new owners that have more money personally than George Steinbrenner in Baltimore. You add whoever you want. Someone comes in and offers him something outrageous, I can't guarantee you that he won't leave. But let me ask you if Juan Soto is in a better spot. And so many people that he could possibly be in a better spot than the spot he's in right now is yesterday we played the postgame sound, and it was literally two guys in love with each other. No, you're the best. No, wait a minute. No, don't you. Come on. You kidding me? I'm better than you. You're the best. We all know who the best is. Back and forth. It was obnoxious. He's hitting in front of the greatest hitter, arguably, by the end of his career, we could go down and say that Judge is the best hitter who ever lived. He's having the best year of his career, Juan Soto. He's playing in a ballpark that the fans adore him. There's 40,000 there every single night. He's got the short porch and right. And for the next 7 years, he's got the best hitter in baseball alongside of him. And everybody thinks, oh, well, all that matters is the money. All that matters is the money. Because he turned down a contract when he was 23 years old with the Washington Nationals, who won a championship, and immediately broke down and didn't pay Harper the year before and broke down. And he went right into losing, and they offered him a contract of just under $30 million per year. I know it was for $440, but it was $30 million a year, and he bet on himself. And because he turned down $440, everybody's convinced he will take, it doesn't matter who gives it to him. The Colorado Rockies could offer him the most money and he'll go there. And I don't know that. I think he's in a pretty damn good position. And if he gets what he wants, just like Judge, right? If Judge turned down a contract of $240 million, Judge turned down guaranteed money when his injury-plagued career was still at that point. Judge turned down money, and then Judge, once he had the great year, turned down money in free agency. San Francisco offered him just as much. He could have went home. San Diego offered him $400 million, $40 million more than the Yankees did. To be in this spot, to be in this lineup, to be hitting in front of Aaron Judge is the best thing that could happen for Juan Soto. And if you think he's going to, without question, leave that for a couple of bucks, I'm not so sure. And as I watch this, as I watch this team still struggle through a season where they should be better, no doubt. As I still watch this team have really no bullpen offensively besides Soto, be shut down for the first six innings against the worst team in baseball, absolutely. But I also get to watch on a daily basis. And this is what, like, I literally saw a guy on Yankees Twitter put out today. In all honesty, since 2009, give me one thing Yankee fans have a reason to smile about. And I wanted to jump through my phone and just start screaming at someone. We just got to watch the greatest player of this generation hit 300 home runs faster than anyone who ever played the game before. We get to watch him every day. He's the captain of the New York Yankees. It's 162 games. This is it's baseball. It's a sport. And I understand that ultimately the goal is to win a championship, and no one's saying different. But if you can't enjoy the journey at all, if we can't watch Juan Soto hit four consecutive home runs and four consecutive at-bats and watch Aaron Judge hit after him and watch those two go to work. Like, we had the movie, did you see the Billy Crystal movie on HBO, 61? Because I watched the movie. Did they even celebrate the championship? Was that even part of the movie? I don't even remember. It's about the special nature of that year. And it's about what those two men did. And watching these two guys on a nightly basis, if you honestly have to rack your brain for a reason to enjoy it, you're nuts. And you're not seeing the forest through the trees. And we'll get into all the disappointing parts of this team, the things that need to change with this team, Verdugo hitting leadoff, all the different things that need to be done to ultimately get to a point to win a championship, including Judge performing better in the postseason himself. There's a lot of things, a lot of question marks. But on a night where he hits 300, on a night where Soto hits his fourth home run in four consecutive at-bats, on a time where we're concerned about whether or not Soto has priced himself out of the Yankees and whether or not this is going to live forever. Two things. One, it absolutely can. And two, how about we just enjoy it for what it is right now? Two of the three or four greatest hitters of this generation, and possibly we are watching the greatest Yankee since Babe Ruth play baseball right now. Maybe we could put down all our hate and actually watch this and say, what a marvel. Because this guy is special. This guy is special. Derek Jeter was a great player, but he was a winner. And it was a different kind of special. He was great. The team was amazing. And they won championship after championship. It was a special group. You could feel the hate to lose. That, honestly, I'm not sure I felt in any team in baseball since. No, it's been no repeat champion, and it's certainly not been in the Bronx. That's fair. But this is a player like we've never seen. He's better than Alex Rodriguez. He's better than Derek Jeter. He's better than he's better than anyone in that team. Doesn't make it any more less special, more special. It's just a fact. We are watching what could go down as the greatest Yankee this side of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And so just take a second on the night he hits 300 when they walked him in front of him and he's pissed off and he takes an inside fastball 6 inches off the plate, gets his hands in and hits it 400 feet to left field. Let's just take a second and recognize how incredibly special this is and how these two guys absolutely can figure it out and how the New York Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner have a path to get it done and absolutely have to. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets, obviously, as they snap their losing streak. We'll get to more aspects of this game. I want to talk about Wells. I want to talk about Cabrera and how he needs to play. Let's talk about Verdugo and Volpe and some of the slumping in this team and the fact that really it was a struggle, even though the game ends up being lopsided, to get past the White Sox and what this lineup needs to do to get better so that we feel better about this team moving forward. But just for a second, in the open here, let's take your calls on how what it's like to watch these two players go at it, because it's something that we haven't seen since at least the 60s and possibly the 20s. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Take your calls next right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let me just nip something in the bud right now. I said Juan Soto had home runs in four consecutive at-bats. That is accurate. A walk is not an at-bat. A walk is a plate appearance. I know he had a walk in between. He walked the last at-bat of the game and when they didn't want to challenge him the other night where with an opportunity to hit four. But I got inundated by people saying, bro, I hate to tell you, you know, there was a walk in between. Yeah, there was. I said four consecutive at-bats. A walk is not an at-bat. A walk is a plate appearance, but not an at-bat. At least I'm pretty sure about that. But there is the path to keep Juan Soto. And you have to keep these two guys together. I'm sorry, you have to. And why wouldn't they want to be together? And again, the money is there coming off the books this year. And that's why they've been cultivating young talent. Like right now, if you look at this team, right? Next year, Rice at first base, Wells as your catcher, Jazz Chisholm is your third baseman, Volpe is your shortstop, Peraza is your second baseman, and Jason Dominguez is your left fielder, and Judge and Soto in right field. That's your team. You're building from within. You're developing young players. Now, of course, do the players have to be successful? Sure. We wouldn't be talking about the 90 core if Posada, Pettit, and Jeter weren't successful. That's how you build a team. You got to build from within. It's not about just like, because I got one guy on Twitter sending me a message. Oh, so here's your pitch. We'll pay you. And then we'll fill the team with nobodies around your roster where Steve Cohen is going to say, I'll pay you more than the Yankees and I'll keep paying this one and that one until we finally win. Well, Steve Cohen's had the highest payroll in baseball now for 3 years. Where's the winning? He's got the highest payroll in baseball right now with zero expectations. The Mets have the highest payroll in baseball right now and went into the season without expecting to win because he broke it down. Now, I'm not knocking that plan. I'm just saying that's where we are. Spending and spending and spending. Steve Cohen just recognized that's not necessarily the best way to build a team 3 years into his ownership. He tried. It failed. It ended up in a 79-win season last year. The Mets are trying to build from within right now. You think they're doing that just to continue to throw money at problems left and right? Steve Cohen can absolutely afford Juan Soto. And if there's a bidding war, there's no doubt. If Steve Cohen has his mind on throwing the most money at at Juan Soto, that's exactly what's going to happen. There's no doubt, no argument for me. The most money will come from the Mets. My point is, there is not a better place to go, even with Steve Cohen's money, than the New York Yankees and hitting next to Judge. Because right now, they have Gerrit Cole, an ace who's won a Cy Young. The Mets don't have a rotation. Next year. I mean, who knows who they'll go sign, but they don't have a rotation. The Yankees have the greatest hitter on the planet. They have Lindor, and they might not even have Alonso. Like, I don't... The selling point that the Mets have such a better selling point than the Yankees do, they don't. They have one aspect. I'll pay you a dollar more. I'll pay you $50 million more. That's the selling point the Mets have. They don't have the history. They don't have the track record. They don't have an ace. They don't have Aaron Judge. They do not have anywhere near the selling points the Yankees do. They have money. And that might rule the day. No one's saying it wouldn't. But the position Juan Soto's in, as he's watching this guy hit 300 home runs faster than anybody, as he watches him play every day and recognizing he's not just the slugger who hits home runs, he's hitting 330. Like, his game is completely taken to another level. He's not just some slugger who hits you 50 home runs, and that would be pretty damn good. The guy's going to hit you 60 home runs, drive in 140, and hit you 325. He is having Mantle numbers in a completely different age, in a much more difficult age to have it. Much more. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, you forgot about the defense, man. What about that arm? What about that cannon?
Oh, no.
Judge?
Yeah, Judge has got a great arm. It's actually more, it's a good arm. It's actually more accurate than it is like a cannon. He's so accurate, it's unbelievable. But I have to admit, he can play the corner outfield. The center field this year is taking a little bit of a dip from where it was last year and the year before. And I think that's intentional. I think they don't want him out there diving for balls. I don't think they want him out there like going crazy playing center field. They've DH'd him a ton. Every opportunity they get, they DH him. But you're right, his defense as well. He's an all-around player. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, and now a comment and then a question. Okay, and here's my comment.
Yeah.
So, Soto is a unicorn of free agents in that he's one of the, I mean, you can't really count on more than one hand how many free agents are in baseball especially get paid for what they're going to do versus what they've already done, right? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my question for you, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know where I come out on this. Would you be okay with it if the only money the Yankees allocated for free agents in the coming offseason would be for Soto? Because I'm all in on that.
Yeah,
not bother me.
No, I mean little bits. Like you could lose, you might have to put some money in a closer. Clay Holmes is making $6 million. I think there's a chance you'd have to put less money into a closer. Probably if you want to keep. Now, here's the thing. Like everybody thinks Hal Steinbrenner, when he made the comments that we can't sustain a payroll. Right now it's 308. So he made the comments about not sustaining a payroll of $300 million. I don't necessarily think, I know a lot of people do, and I know the tax is going to hurt him this year. I don't necessarily think that meant this coming year I'm getting under $300 million. I'm getting under the 286 or whatever it is, last threshold in the tax. I don't think it means it has to be done this coming season. It means for the future plan is not to live above $300 million. Eventually, we're going to get underneath it, and I don't like anticipate constantly going over it. But if Stanton's on the books, if some guys are on the books, and he knows he's got to put a winning team, I don't think he's opposed to going over it. But for in the short term, but he's not going to live there. So ultimately, with signing Juan Soto, signing these stars, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to sign a few stars. You have Judge, you can't let leave. You got Soto, you can't let leave. You bring in an ace every once in a while. You got Cole right now. You brought in Rodon as well. To keep them, you have to supplement with your foundation, which should be your farm system. That's how you should build a team. You shouldn't be out there trying to spend money in free agency left and right and bring in every single hot. You pick and choose. You've got the greatest hitter on the planet, and you've got the third or second best hitter on the planet. They both play for you. You keep them. You have that dynamic, and then you build around him with your farm system. Like, that's how you do it. Now, if they fail, which the Baby Bombers did, and hence why they're right now patchworking it and have a high payroll without great players because they failed at it. Now, you got to be successful with it, of course. But right now it feels like Wells is that kind of player. Hopefully Volpe can turn into that kind of player. We're going to see Peraza in a little bit. We've seen Jason Dominguez be that kind of player. They believe that Spencer Jones can be that kind of player. That's what you do. You buy the few unbelievable, incredible stars. And you supplement with the farm system, your lifeblood, that you build up and you have to develop. So this upcoming season, would I be okay with, and I think you might have to be on some level, like because you still got certain contracts on the books. You still have Stanton's contract on the books. You're still going to have LeMahieu's contract on the books. You're still paying $10 million for Hicks next year. So, like, there's some money that is allocated to either bad contracts or dead money. So you're going to have to ultimately, yeah, like first base, they're not going to go out there and get the best first baseman on the free agent market. They're going to try and live with Ben Rice, or maybe they'll go out and get a veteran cheap money or something. They'll bring in somebody. But it's not going to be a high-priced free agent. Second base, they're going to give to, they're going to battle with Peraza and, you know, Jazz Chisholm, and they'll bring in someone to battle at third base, one of their prospects, but that's it. The infield is going to be Volpe, Jazz, and a young kid at second base. And then your outfield is Jason Dominguez, Judge, and Soto. That's the team. And if it pans out, it's better than it would be if going out in free agency. If it doesn't, they're going to have to supplement it. But the idea that that's not a good selling pitch, that Steve Cohen's going to walk in with some sort of great selling pitch to Juan Soto about, I'll never stop spending money. Okay, what's it done for them? And I'm not knocking Steve Cohen. I think he's a very good owner who will spend money wisely. He hired a very good executive. They're having a far better year. Well, I shouldn't say far, but right now, right there for the wild card is about as good as you could have hoped for this team. They a lot of answers in Vientos and other places have really panned out, and they're having a nice season. And I think the future of the Mets is bright. But he's already been in this uniform. He's seen the fan base. He knows what it's like to play next to Judge. And the Yankees aren't, like, you might hate them because they haven't won a World Series since 2009. Like, Major League Baseball players don't view it this way. I was watching MLB Network, and they had Teoscar Hernandez on. And he talked about signing with the Dodgers. You know what he said? Well, they give you a chance to win every year. That's it. Like, I know that makes us angry. When Nestor Cortez tweets that out, we all get pissed off. Because it's about winning championships. It's not about contending every year. But you're telling me Juan Soto looks at the New York Yankees and thinks, oh, geez, it's been such a disaster here. How could I stay? That's you. That's us. That's the fans. Major League, the players don't view it that way. Inside Major League Baseball, they don't view the Yankees as this disastrous place to go because all they've accomplished is the ALCS four times out of six. Like, that's not, they don't view it that way. You do, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I get it. It's not good enough for you. They think, well, if I'm there, it's different. If I'm there, maybe we get over the hump. But I'm going to a team that's consistently in the playoffs every year. I don't think the Mets or anybody else has a better pitch than the New York Yankees. He's already been in the uniform. He's been doing it. He's been living it. If he hates it and we're unaware of it, then he'll go, I guess. But how could he hate it? The Yankees have the best pitch possible to bring Juan Soto back to the New York Yankees. There is not a better pitch out there. The only better pitch is the money, which Steve Cohen, without question, will win. And I'm firmly open to the idea, if Juan Soto is strictly about, I am going to get the very last dollar I can get, which is well within his rights. He is a phenomenal player. He worked very hard to be as good as he is. And he's earned the right to be a free agent. And if money is the only thing he cares about, God bless him. He's entitled to that opinion, and I wish him well. But there comes a point where what's the difference between $500 million and $545 million? And Judge said, I'd rather be here and happy at $360 million than $400 million. It's impossible that Soto has that same opinion because he turned down a $440 million contract a couple years ago when he recognized that $30 million a year is not good enough and he's going to do better almost no matter how he plays for the next couple of years. And then the other angle of all this is paying more than Judge, which I knew I forgot something in the open. How in the world, and I've had this conversation with Boomer outside of on the air in the newsroom, and he talked about it this morning, apparently. The idea that the Yankees will not pay and cannot pay Soto more than Judge is it's lost on me. I don't understand it whatsoever. Is it disrespectful to Aaron Judge to pay someone more than him? Is that the thought process? Because if so, I don't get it. I think it's more disrespectful to not give him an opportunity to win. Like, you think Judge is sitting around going, oh, please, I can't have Soto back making more money than me? No, let him go. I'm the top breadwinner here. Otherwise, this thing falls apart. Like, really? He wants to win. And this is free agency. He's also a big union guy, Judge. He got that. You know, they want the next guy to get more and the next guy to get more and the contracts to go up and more money in the player pockets than the owner's pockets. Like, he's not going to begrudge a 25 at the time, 26-year-old Juan Soto for making money. They are going to pay him, and or at least offer him to pay him, more than Judge. They have to. That's how it works. The next guy up makes more money. And I think two things are working against this argument. One, they didn't want to give Yamamoto more money than Cole. And the correlation to that, Yamamoto never pitched a day in Major League Baseball, as great as he is. When free agency started, the thought was he was going to make around $200 million. He got $300 plus. They weren't willing to pay someone who's never thrown a pitch in Major League Baseball more than their ace. They're going to pay the Hall of Famer already at 26, who's won a championship more than Judge. They absolutely will. The Yankees will 100% offer him more money than Aaron Judge. Whether he takes it or not is up in the air, because I do think the Mets will probably offer him more than that. And who knows? The Padres are freaking crazy and stupid. They might offer him more money. There might be a team who comes out of the woodwork, because let's be honest, he's 25, 26 years old. The White Sox could use him. Theoretically, it's not like there's no team that's in such a bad place that they can't use a 26-year-old. So it's definitely up to, it could be anybody. I'm not saying the Yankees will offer him the most. I'm saying the Yankees will offer him a number I think he could be comfortable with, or absolutely will be comfortable with. And they got the best sales pitch with Aaron Judge. Eli in the Bronx. What's up, Eli?
How are you, Chris?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I just got one thing to say right now about Aaron Judge, and that is, woohoo! Let's go, baby! We got the best player of all time in baseball history. Start spreading the news. We got the king here today.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's that
we
good.
We don't need no Soto, no Verdugo, no nothing. We don't need nothing. We just need Judge, and that's it. We don't need anything. I'm gonna be there by the stadium every day to watch this man just crush home runs for a living. Come on, man.
All right, Eli. Let's I like go. It. Look at you. Yes, Eli's pumped. I get it. You should be. He's that good. I understand it's not, you know, we're not trying to win. Look at the screen's all messed up. It's about winning championships too, no doubt. And today, but today's just to take the moment, hit the 300th home run. And we'll get into the game too, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, watching him right now, who's better than Aaron Judge? Like, who have you ever seen that's better? Barry Bonds, that's it. I have to be fair. Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I ever saw. Now, I didn't see him as much as Judge, but, I mean, he got intentionally walked 120 times. We're complaining because Judge got intentionally walked 13. Like, it's not the same. It's just not the same. He was on another level. He hit 73 home runs, and they didn't want to throw him strikes. I mean, it's a different thing. Now, you want to have the steroid argument? Fine. You want to take Barry Bonds out? Fine. But we are watching one of the greatest players to ever, and let's just stick to Yankees. Like, he is in Mickey Mantle territory. I know that's going to upset some people who are, you know, around to watch the Mick play and grew up loving him. I get it, and I'm sorry. But just look at the numbers. And look at the rest of baseball. And look at his peers while he's doing it. I mean, nobody's doing this. It's him and Ohtani, really, and Soto. Like, that's it. Gary in the Bronx. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's going on, boss? Listen,
you're
speaking right from my brain tonight. First point I want to make is about the point you just kind of made about people saying the Yankees can't or won't pay Soto because they can't pay him higher than Judge. That's absolutely idiotic.
I don't want to say it's idiotic. I don't know what. I got to have another conversation. I don't understand the thought process that it's disrespectful to Judge.
I don't get it. I like you said,
you think Judge would feel like less slighted if they just gave him, you know, if they took away his best teammate and try? He wants to win. I don't understand. And it's not hurting him. I mean, he's made, and here's the thing. Judge got what he wanted. Judge was on the phone with the owner, and the owner said, what do you need to stay a Yankee? And he told him. And then the owner said, yes. If Judge wanted more money than this, he would have got more money than this. Judge is happy and content with what he got. There is no, like, it is what it is. This is how free agency works. The next guy makes more money.
I agree. But the main point I was willing to make tonight was about you, one of the rare people I've seen lay out how they can re-sign Soto, sign him, and nobody else ever explained that. And I've been saying the same thing you've been saying for weeks about Verdugo coming off, Rizzo coming off, Torres coming off. There's plenty of ways.
No, 100%. I mean, because people also, think that Steinbrenner needs to get under the 285 or whatever it is, that final, like, next year. And here's the other thing that people don't mention. Soto's making $31 million this year.
Exactly. Yeah, I've said
like,
that
it's
before.
Not,
yeah,
it's exactly. Not like the pay, you're going to pay, say he makes $50 million, which I'm not even sure he is going to make, but say he makes $50 million next year. That's only a $20 million bump. You get rid of Rizzo, and they have the same payroll next year.
And finally, the last thing I'm going to end with was, I don't know if you've seen stuff like this, but when I just laughed, again, I'm a diehard Yankee fan for 30 years.
Yeah.
So I just laughed when the Yankees are playing tonight. They win. You know, last night, Soto had the 3 home runs. The Mets, cross town. I see Mets fan Twitter all over my feed as I'll be seeing things where the Mets just say, oh, future Met Juan Soto hit 3 home runs tonight.
Yeah, I know. No, Met fan is absurd with this. There's no doubt. The Met fan.
That's pathetic. You have a Met game that you should be watching, and you're posting about, future Met. Well, yeah. It's pathetic.
And like, and I got you, Gary. I don't disagree with you. And I don't like to get on the Met fans because I understand. And I'm with them in a lot. I enjoy watching the Mets. I really do. And they kick the crap out of the Yankees. So I feel like this year is not the year to comment on it. I was going to get all over Tommy, but I'm like, let me not. Yankees, he gets the crow. They kick the crap out of the Yankees. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I tweet out every time because I got sick of this conversation. I haven't had this conversation. I felt like because of the Soto Judge connection, Judge's 300th home run, Soto hitting all these home runs, you know, it being the White Sox and everything, it felt like the time to finally have the conversation about Juan Soto. And I heard some things that took place yesterday. Like even yesterday, I briefly touched on this, but I talked about the game more than I talked about Juan Soto yesterday. But obviously, I hear all the different people talking about it. I saw Boomer say that they won't pay him more than Judge. You know, Sal talking about it. So it feels like the two of them are connected at the moment. So this conversation kind of is plausible to me right this minute. But the reason I tweet out Juan Soto is a Yankee is because I got tired of this. I don't want to overthink every day. I want to enjoy it. Like, I saw this, Sal talking about this yesterday, too, and I agree, and I was talking about this last night. Like, we should enjoy this as Yankee fans. Like, I know it's hard to, and especially while they were losing, it was very difficult to. But, like, take a second and recognize, like, I know we're mad at this, we're mad at Brian Cashman, we're mad at Hal Steinbrenner, we're mad at the team, they're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, they did give us two of the greatest players in baseball history, arguably. And we get to watch them every night. And they're both having career years. They're both having incredible all-time seasons. Like, let's just enjoy it for a second. And that's why I tweet out Juan Soto is a Yankee, because I got tired of it. I want to just enjoy it. But yesterday, finally getting in the mood for all of this, I said Juan Soto is a Yankee and will be a Yankee. And you're right. I got inundated and bombarded with Met fans saying he's going to be a Met next year, and all the gifs and memes of him in a Met jersey, and I don't know why the Met fan is so focused on this, because the owner is Steve Cohen. They've been waiting for him to spend his money, and now not only did they take the Subway Series and win all 4 games, but now they're going to take our heart and bring in Juan Soto. And nothing would make them happier. And it would be a dynamic shift inside. There's no doubt about it. If he signs with the Mets, there is a dynamic shift inside the city that we've never seen before. We've never seen a high-priced free agent, specifically one who wore a Yankee uniform, who the Yankees desire and are doing everything they can to get, and he goes across town. Like, Yamamoto could have been, it wouldn't have been as high a level, but I talked about this during the Yamamoto sweepstakes. If the Mets get Yamamoto, that is the first time both teams went all in for a free agent, and he went to the Mets. Like, Carlos Beltran called the Yankees the last minute and said, please don't let me sign with the Mets. Give me the same money, I'm with you. And the Yankees said no. Like, that's as close as it got. Like, that's where we were. That's where it's been. Like, one of the great Mets to put on the, you know, one of the better Mets to play for them in the last 50, 40 years wanted to be a Yankee at the last moment, said, please take me away from the Mets. And the Mets, and the Yankees said no. That's like, that's the dynamic shift, at least in that area, between these two teams. And for Soto to go to the Mets, absolutely, would be a dynamic shift. And it's definitely plausible. By no means am I saying it's not going to happen. I have a little fun on Twitter, but I'm aware of what's going on. I agree. I think the most money is going to come from the Mets. But I think the Yankees are going to give him an offer with plenty of money that would make him very happy, and then he's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to be a Yankee. And for me, I watch what's going on. I think that's an extremely promising lead. I think the Yankees have a very... you don't think the Yankees have the advantage? Having him play for the Yankees, the connection to the fan base, that ballpark, this season he's having, and playing with Aaron Judge? Like, Lindor's having a very good year. He's not anywhere near Aaron Judge. Not anywhere near him. Pete Alonso, I mean, let's get real. These guys aren't anywhere near Judge. Now, their offense has been just as good, if not better, over the last couple of months, but I just, it's very difficult for me to assume that he would want to go anywhere else. And I think the reason, like, I don't know why he got inundated with, it's all about the money. I know he turned down a contract. I believe he was 23 years old, and the contract offer was for $440 million for 12 years. That's just under $30 million a year. He's making $31 in arbitration. Like, you know, like, he knew he was going to blow past $30 million a year, and he's 25 years old. Like, yeah, and that, and we don't know if he wanted to stay in Washington or not. Like, he might not have liked it there.
It was 15 years. So, yeah.
Oh, 15 years. Excuse me. That's what I meant. He would have been locked up forever, and it was $29.333333333 million a year. So he would have been just under 30, a smidge under 30, and locked up forever to a Washington team that at the time felt like it was falling apart. So because he turned down that money, we all assume it's just about the payday. Plus, this guy's been now he's been around. Now he's been traded twice. Like, does he want to just continue to switch teams? Like, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Hal Steinbrenner has a way to make it work and to pay him, and the Yankees will without question offer him a contract. They can't not. They're not the Yankees. Like, there have been other times. Like, yeah, they let Harper pass, and people might have said that. And they let Machado pass, and people might have said that. They haven't won a championship since 09, and people definitely say that. But if you bring in Juan Soto, trade away as much as you did, bring him into this ballpark, watch him and Judge be the biggest dynamic duo since Maris and Mantle, and watch them play together and have the fans fall in love with him and watch this kind of season and watch how he's impacting winning, and not attempt to bring him back or not make a legitimate offer to him. That's the business. Like, everyone who thinks that he's just about business, he doesn't care about winning, it's just about business. This is the business. Signing Soto is the business. That's what they sell this on. They can't guarantee championships, but this is what they sell it on. Stars are going to play for the Bronx. They are going to play in the Bronx and play for the Yankees. That's it. That's what they sell it on. It might be youth all around it, but there are stars in the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Update. Come back. More of your phone calls. We'll get more into the game. We'll get more into the Mets. Plus a story about chicken wings. Every time there's a story about chicken wings, I find it fascinating. So I got another story about chicken wings to tell you. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.